And we are in Luke chapter 2, considering this morning the Christmas carol, Thou Dost Leave Thy Throne. I want to use five terms, if you would. First of all, the term is Annunciation in Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7. The term is Annunciation, Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We see some D's here. First of all, I see direction. Thou didst leave thy throne. What a glorious throne it is. It's an eternal throne. And he left heaven's beauty to come to be with us. The direction. The direction it was. How would you have expected to have been treated? If I had been the Son of God coming, I would have expected the singularly greatest fanfare and parade at my birth. That's what we would think. I've come to earth. Everybody should be aware of it. William Booth captured this pretty effectively. Down from his glory and ever-living story, my God and Savior came. And Jesus was his name, born in a manger to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Just the opposite of what the Jews were expecting, as you well know. They were expecting a conquering, ruling leader. A fundamental doctrine of Scripture is that Jesus did come down, God of very God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh that you and I might have salvation. So that is the direction. The second is the diadem. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. Revelation says when he comes back, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He's coming back. First for the church, and then he's coming back to rule and to reign. The crowns will be on his head, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then for eternity in the eternal age. He is, by the way, the Lord of glory. Direction, diadem, devotion. When the author, Miss Elliott, says, when thou camest to earth for me. You remember those wonderful verses in Galatians chapter 4? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When the exact time came. There were 400 silent years when the prophets stopped speaking. God stopped speaking through the prophets. 400 silent years before he said something. If I have to wait an extra traffic light, I get, wow, my goodness, don't they not know how to drive? If you don't want to get anywhere, stay off the road, please. I've got things to do. Do you not know how busy I am? And they don't care a hoot how busy I am. It's probably they don't have the ulcers and stress because they don't worry about that. They just... let's go right on. Like Mr. Dickens, I am sure, being on the road all the time, he's learned to just calmly think things as they go. But me, you know, I get, whoa. But when the fullness of time was come, he has things lined up. He has a job for me to do. A daytime job, hopefully. Sometime I'll get one. But the Lord knows about that. He has these things for you. He has all these things will fall in place in his time if I will let him. He came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, said Dottie Rambo to the words of that very famous tune. And like Squire Parsons' words, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He did come to me. Because we could not go to him. The Annunciation, the direction, the diadem, the devotion. How about the destination? Miss Elliott said in verse 1 of her hymn, but in Bethlehem's home. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Beit Lechem, if you would, in Hebrew, house of bread, a population in 2007 of 25,266 people. It's not a really large town. It's about, what, Ashland? Is that about Ashland? I'm not sure. Maybe it's more than Ashland has. But it's not that large of a town. It's matter of fact, since 1995, it's been administrated by the Palestinian authority. That is Bethlehem. It's in the West Bank currently. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What a wondrous thing to have. I don't know what Greenup is known for across Kentucky and across America and across other places, but I can tell you what Bethlehem's known for. The birth of our Savior. Amen. Wow. What a wonderful thing it was and is. Direction, diadem, devotion, destination. How about under this annunciation, findings, denial? But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for the holy nativity. Nativity simply means when you were born. Mine was July 20th, 1961, Millersburg, Ohio, County of Holmes. In the Amish country was I born, July of 61. His nativity was Bethlehem. The year about 3 or 4 B.C., actually. Well, not actually at zero, as the calendars have been changed since then. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It was a reception of the Savior. There is such a change in our nation. One of the appointees regarding the Christian liberty, one of the possible appointees to the cabinet coming up in the new administration says, I think that times when religious liberty will trump or have more important than the morality and sexual expression of people in our country, I cannot see hardly any time when the Christian liberty will be more important than people to have freedom to live as they want. Our Christian liberty is on the cusp of going away. There was no room in the inn here. Now, I'm not saying, I believe it probably was Chimham's Inn. You want to look it up sometime, but Chimham's Inn there in Bethlehem. I'm not saying the innkeeper was a bad person. I'm saying he had a full house. There's sometimes you just can't put any more things in there, and there's nowhere to go. And it was a crowded time. Ruth Glover wrote one of my favorite little Christmas poems. A humble barn became a rude theater, the empty stage a rough and simple stall. The props, a milking stool, a sheaf of barley, a halters draped in garlands on the wall. In shadowed wings, the bovine extras waited. As bleating sheep, the orchestration played. The grandstands filled with ruminating oxen and heaven's searchlight lit up the little stage. The overture rang from rejoicing angels on heaven's balconies, the scene to view. And when she placed the infant in the manger, life's greatest drama opened right on cue. In the fullness of time, when it was just the right time, when the earth seemed so dark, he came. The Annunciation, he is born. Secondly, I see in verse 2 of Miss Elliott's song here is humiliation. Humiliation. And you see, first of all, is music. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang. Now, I must remind us that nowhere in Scripture does the Bible explicitly say angels sing. Now, I believe they do. Job 38:7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You say, but Luke chapter 2 right here, what does it say? It says in verse 13, look what it says, Pastor. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing. Oh, is that what it says? No, praising God and saying glory to God. It doesn't say singing. Now, I will be the first, I really believe they sing. And so we have the angels, the music, heaven's arches ring, she says, when the angels sang. By the way, if angels don't sing about half of our Christmas carols, we have to take out of the book. So there we are. Even the ones we sang this morning. This is the second one for sure. Have you ever wondered why God announced the greatest birth in human history to a handful of shepherds on a hillside and a few wise men from the east? Perhaps it was because they were quiet enough to listen, eager enough to know, and available enough to follow. Perhaps that's why he did it that way. There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer. There's a baby's low cry. There's a tumult of joy over the wonderful world, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. The music and the heavenly music that I believe exists even today, although I've not been there yet, I believe there's music in heaven. He's given us music here. Don't you love music? I so appreciate music. And thank you so much, all of you. So many participate in the music ministry here at church. I appreciate that. So humiliation involved music. Secondly, message. Heaven's, the arches rang, proclaiming thy royal decree. That word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. In Hebrews chapter 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, proclaiming the royal decree. The Jesus that came in the manger was not simply a good man or a good teacher. He was God, a very God, who humbled himself, was placed in the virgin's womb, and stayed there 9 months and was birthed normally. The miraculous thing about the virgin birth is the fact that he was placed into her womb, not the birthing process. I really believe that she had the normal birthing project, and I hope it wasn't a long labor process, but the miraculous thing is he was placed into her womb without man's involvement. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent us a Savior, Christ the King, proclaiming the royal decree, the music, the message. How about the meekness? But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth in great humility. I just wanted to savvy my conscience here, savvy my understanding. I looked for the most luxurious birthing places in America today. So top four I found at the UCLA Center of Birthing. You can get a tuxedo-wearing food ambassadors once you've given birth. You have XM satellite radio and all the accoutrements. In Denver, there's a hospital there, birthing center, that you can have birthing balls. You can have rocking chairs. You can have squat bars. You can have all these things. After, you can have a private conference rooms. In LA, they have a hospital for $3,784 per day extra. You can have a magnificent suite in your birthing place. And in New York City at Mount Sinai Hospital, if you'll pay $1,100 extra per day, you can get a window that looks out over Central Park. So there you go. If you're going to give birth today in this America, maybe you want to choose one of those four or one of the other 20 top most expensive places to give birth. Jesus, however, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humiliation. He who should have been so, not simply famous for being famous, which we have today. People have no reason to be famous. They're famous because of all the social media. No, Christ should have been worshipped and adored. Announcements should have been every single moment, every single headline of every single paper. The Christ has come. Receive him. Thirdly, I see subjugation in her verse there of our hymn book. It says in hymn number 79, verse 3, arrest. I see the foxes have rest. It says in Luke 9:58, and the Lord said unto him, the foxes have holes. I see a nest, and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. Jesus said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God hath not where to lay his head. Do you remember, even at the demoniac Gadara is healed, and he's sitting there in his right mind, and the people come out who are the swine traders, and they say, no. Begging him, it says, and they began to pray him to depart out of their country. They didn't want the Savior. They didn't want someone who could heal a demoniac, a demon-controlled person. Out with you, they say. Even the animals have rest. Even animals have nest. And then there was the test. But thy couch was the sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Remember, Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread, or worship me, or cast thyself down. The temptation's there at the end of the wilderness testing. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It says in Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And in Luke 22, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus prayed for God's will to be done. Not my will, but your will be done. I think it's important. Someone was asked Wednesday night, why should we pray for God's will to be done, even though it's going to be done? Yes, we should. I think, from my own thinking, the way I see it, as we are praying, and as we pray for God's will to be done, I am to be aligning myself with what God has in mind to do. And I am to be following what he has for me to do specifically. And Lord, please have your will in my life, and have your will in the life of this, of our country. Everything is not happening in our country. Matter of fact, I can hardly think of anything that's happening in my country as I would choose for it to happen. But Lord, I want your will to be done. And whatever your will is, may I align myself. I want myself to be aligned with that. Instead of chafing at the yoke. Did you know that, I just read somewhere I was reading this week about when the oxen is small, they have a small yoke they put on the oxen. And as he gets older, put a little bit bigger oxen, a little bit of yoke on there. And by the time they get to be a full-grown oxen, they take the yoke. And it's just like part of, are just used to the yoke because they have learned it from a young person. If we will learn from the small things that God is in control, when we get to the bigger things, we can still say, God's in control. God's in control. God knows what he's doing. Annunciation, humiliation, subjugation. Fourthly, verse 4 is revelation. Here's the revealing. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He is not a God. He is the God. Don't let Jehovah's Witnesses try to talk you into some kind of erroneous interpretation of that scripture. He is God, a very God. And by the way, if you say he is not God, you have no salvation. It took God to die on the cross for you and me. If he's just simply a man, we are lost and undone. You might as well go live like wild heathens. Because we have no salvation. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If you want to teach your youngster something, teach him the fact that Jesus is God. Christ is God, a very God. Teach him the sufficiency of Scripture. Teach him not to kowtow to the cultural mandates and believe God's word no matter what. The culture is telling you, well, that's just some... No, it's something... It's amazing how Christians even can say, well, that was... The word of God was okay for that culture. But in our culture, no. No. The word of God was in the mind of God before that world was ever formed. He's not changing. It's going to be lasting. God's word shall stand when we have gone the way of the dodo bird and many other extinct animals. There was a dodo bird, right? There was a dodo bird? Yes, okay. Yeah, thank you. His word shall stand. The revealing, how about the reason that should set thy people free? It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life. And they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant, enjoyable Christian walk. He wants us to be content. No matter whatever state you're in, whether it be Ohio or Kentucky or West Virginia, or discouraged. He wants it to be, whether you have two nickels or two quarters to rub together, to be content. Roy Lesson said, God knew we could never buy our way to him. The cost was too great. We could never earn our way to him. The task was too great. We could never will our way to him. The commitment was too great. God knew we could never come to him. So he came to us. He came to us that we might have life. Revelation involves the revealing, the reasoning. What was the response? But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn. In Acts 22:23, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was Caiaphas who said expedient that one man should die for the people. I just read, Miss Juanita gave me this book a few weeks ago. I just got to it yesterday. Powerful. How can I be saved? It's about a jailer in our era. And it takes the jailer from Philippians, the Philippian jailer, takes a jailer. And his explanation of the crucifixion, I was reading yesterday morning, If you do not feel like, Lord, I am so sorry for my sin, I'm going to read it to you probably when we get to the part, and when we get to Luke part of the crucifixion. Amazing. If you want to get some of those, how can I be saved? It tells about how a man who was so against God, the pastor's beaten up, put in prison, and he has a chance to witness the jailer after about 2 hours conversation. Excellent apologetic of how to be saved. He died for us. Mocking scorn. Crown of thorns. But now before we start wagging our fingers and saying, oh, I can't believe they would do such a terrible thing in our own self-righteous selves, would we be so different? Are we that superior? If you had been a lowly shepherd who heard the angels sing, would you have left your sheep alone to find the baby king? If you had been the innkeeper, pressed and hurried since the dawn, would you have done the best you could or just told them to move on? If you had been a wise man, due respect and courtly graces, would you have left it all behind to search in unknown places? We cannot know what we would have done if we had been there then. We only know what we do now when chances come again. We only know what we do now when chances come again. So my wife and I were sitting at the Fazoli's parking lot, leaving the parking lot, and a guy comes up. He's walking along. I see him walking. He goes, so I rolled down my window. I say, it's 12:28, 12:23, whatever it was. He goes, oh, do you like veterans? And long story short, he needed some help, so I gave him some money, etc. We said, well, I help people when I have it to give, yes. I'd rather give and not to someone who's taking, if they're taking advantage of you and me, that's their fault, right? Yes, it's their fault. And I don't give to everybody, and I've become a little bit jaded, I have to say, with those sitting on the corner, because I know it's a racket for many. But people's in need, we need to have compassion. Are we taking advantages of the God-given opportunity to serve that God has given us? I trust that you are. And what is the result? The revealing, the reason, the response, the result was this. They bore thee to Calvary. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary in Luke 23, where they crucified, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They bore thee to Calvary. We've been waiting for this last verse. I trust you're still following along, number 79. We see exaltation. And there's the coronation. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory. Won't that be amazing? In Revelation 19, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and shall rule thee with them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The coronation. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's what we're waiting on, the coronation, when the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory. Crown him, Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. That is our prayer. That's what we're looking forward to. And there's the call. Let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room. There is room at my side for thee. Is there room in your heart for Christ? Have you truly received him? I would hate to think that anyone who attends our church regularly or even once would say, I never received Christ. And I want you to know the gospel is for you. I had to receive Christ at 6 years of age. You need to come to Christ. If you have not done so, don't play around with it. Our area just realized two men who I imagine this Sunday were planning on going to church. I know one of them sang in a Christian group and the other one had a Christian, both of them had Christian testimonies, I believe. They're probably going to church this Sunday if they were off work and planning on doing that. And this Sunday, they're in eternity. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to happen to one of us, but it could very well. You need to be ready. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. There is the call, there is the coronation, and finally there's the celebration. My heart. You notice the change in the last part, the last chorus there, the last line of the verse 5. My heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. He's coming for me. He's coming for you, Christian. He knows you. He knows that how many hair I lost on my head this week. He probably knows it. That's number 1,743, 45,620, number 3. All those are gone now. Same for you. As we look back to Jesus' birth and rejoice in what he did for us through his humility, imagine our joy, what it will be like when we see him come for us in all his glory. It's going to be amazing, isn't it? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thou didst leave thy throne, and we are eternally grateful. Annunciation, humiliation, subjugation, revelation, exaltation. Out of eternity, out of his love, God gave his best gift. Jesus came from above. The king as a servant, the shepherd, a lamb, the potter as clay, son of God, son of man. He came as a baby, homeless and poor, and centuries later still knocks at the door. He's God's gift of life as he's been from the start, with no need of an inn if there's room in your heart. No need of an end if there's room in your heart. You know the Christ. If you do not, would you receive him this very day? Let us pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. Heavenly Father, I want to speak for all of us as your children in our church congregation this morning. Thank you that you did leave your throne and your kingly crown when you came to earth for us. Even though there was no room found in Bethlehem, there was a sheep birthing stall where you were laid that night you were born. Shepherds came and worshipped. Wise men came a year or so later, worshipped the Christ child. Lord, I want to worship you today. I want to tell you, Lord, that you are the only means by which I will ever get to heaven. And I have no other methods. I have no other plans. I cast myself upon you. I'm thankful that you are the forgiver of sin, that you will come into the life of those who request. And so, Lord, this morning, maybe is there someone who for a long time has been maybe outward profession, but they know deep down they really don't have that relationship with you. And Lord, they need to be saved. They need to repent. And by grace, through faith, receive you as their Savior. That's why you came. If we could somehow, Lord, earn it ourselves, you would not have had to come, but you came because we cannot go to where you are on our own. So, Lord, work in our hearts and lives this Christmas season. May we ask ourselves, what gift is it I'm giving to you this Christmas? So, Lord, if there's a need this morning for salvation, perhaps for baptism, be obedient in that regard, church membership, whatever the need may be, as we have our invitation time, Lord, would you speak to hearts? And if you've spoken to a heart, perhaps just to come and pray, we would respond and ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.